This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We are watching the national discussion on race, motivated by the issues before the NBA right now, later this hour. What the NBA must do to get past the Sterling nightmare for the LA Clippers. We'd love to know what you think about all of this. A story, please. Call us at 877-8MY-TAKE or join the conversation at thetakeaway.org. But first, a big constitutional issue you can put in your pocket. How much charge do you have in your cell phone right now? All charged up? How's the memory? Nearly empty? Nearly full? What if I streamed all of the data on your phone to one of the HD billboards in the middle of Times Square for the entire universe to see? Huh? You fine with that? Yeah, your entire secret Nickelback playlist up there on display, all the pictures, the search history, the calls, the texts, the who and the where. I could put a map of where you have been for the last 2 weeks up there on the billboard and retrace your steps. Now, what if it is the government that wants to see your smartphone? Everything. Are you all fine with that? Our fabulous smartphone technology is so smart that users can forget that the lovely devices are really just collecting evidence on all of us. Criminals, citizens, celebrities. What does that mean in a free society? Pop star Chris Brown's cell phone data incriminated him as unfaithful, but it was his own behavior toward his girlfriend Rihanna that made him into a criminal. But he's hardly the only person with a cell phone information problem. Cell phones have been used in terrorism. The NSA watches smartphones to prevent terrorism. Smartphone data has become so important to criminal enterprises, according to law enforcement, that urban gangs are believed to have IT departments these days. More about that in just a moment. The digital space was already challenging the constitutional notions of privacy and government search and seizure before smartphones. Today, the Supreme Court is being asked to decide what the government relationship to your smartphone is or should be. Do police need a warrant before searching the smartphone of a person under arrest? Someone who has a big interest in this case before the court is the police commissioner of the city of Philadelphia, Charles Ramsey. He's also the president of the Major Cities Chiefs of Police Association. That organization has filed a friend of the court brief arguing that the government has a compelling interest to search cell phones in criminal cases. Commissioner Ramsey explained how vital he believes smartphone data is right now and how technology is rapidly making the traditional doctrine behind search warrants, he believes, obsolete.
Well, it represents information of a crime, whether it's video, whether it's phone numbers, text messages, whatever. It is technology that we have to deal with on a regular basis now in today's world. I realize that there's personal information in smartphones, but when we do make an arrest, it is very, very important that we be able to have access to information that would lead us to a criminal conviction in a particular case.
Would you accept any restrictions on access to that information, or if you just have the cell phone in your hand, basically it's open season?
Well, the real issue is these smartphones, because data can be removed remotely. So if a person is in custody, and we've had situations already, Orange County, California, for an example, the sheriff's office there conducted a raid of a narcotic organization and money laundering organization. And others got wind of the fact that the arrests were going down and remotely erased all information from cell phones of every member of that organization. In fact, that particular drug organization had its own IT department that was capable of doing just that. Now, obviously, there was an awful lot of evidence that was lost as a result of that. All we're trying to do is make the court aware of the fact that waiting to get a warrant is not always practical. And during that period of time when you're waiting, which is what happened in Houston, Texas, in another case involving a prostitute and a pimp, while they were waiting for the warrant, the evidence on that phone was erased. So we're hopeful that the court will take today's technology into consideration when making their decision.
Isn't it possible, though, that obstruction of justice and evidence tampering and evidence destruction laws cover the deletion of a cell phone, and that you could go after people for obstruction of justice, for reformatting their smartphone?
Well, you know, we've got something now that we've been working on, something called a kill switch. If your phone is stolen or otherwise lost, where you can erase information on that phone remotely. and that phone then becomes totally useless, where it can't be used by whoever may have found the phone or stolen it. So it would be a very difficult thing to prove if you don't have evidence that the reason why they erased the information was to avoid criminal prosecution. And we also have to remember that these are criminals that we're talking about. So obeying law isn't part of what they normally do.
But that's the key. These are criminals we're talking about. But isn't that up to a court to decide, not a police officer? And that's really the tangle for the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, but police make decisions all the time when making an arrest. And we have the authority now to search incident to an arrest. And our argument is that this is part of that search incident to an arrest. It's going to be a difficult case for the Supreme Court to sort through, but hopefully they listen to all the arguments and understand that at the time the Constitution was written and the Fourth Amendment, unlawful searches and seizures, our founding fathers did not have to deal with the technology we deal with today. There's actually an application now that's being created, if it hasn't been already, that would automatically erase all data from your phone if you simply walk into a police station. So the GPS capabilities of these phones would allow an individual to do that remotely or have it automatically done just because the suspect goes into the police station. The technology is advancing so fast that it's difficult to keep pace, and it's going to create some serious problems for us in the future.
Finally, Commissioner Ramsey, thinking this through with you, it sounds as though you are saying, or that you have concluded, that the technology has become such that the idea of prior, you know, warrant approval to searching a cell phone is obsolete, and that police should have access to a cell phone, presumed access to a cell phone, in any sort of arrest situation without any consideration of a warrant. That's where the technology has led us.
The technology itself has created the exigent circumstances that we're talking about here. And it's advancing every single day. This is not an easy case, obviously, for the court. But I think that when you take all these factors into consideration, I think that they will come down with a decision that will allow us to continue to gather evidence of a crime, do so certainly within the constitutional guidelines, but understanding that with today's technology, that is becoming almost impossible to do when it comes to a smartphone. Now, if it's a regular cell phone without smartphone technology, that's different because those phones, you don't have the ability to erase automatically or remotely like you do with a smartphone. But more and more people are moving away from regular cell phones. In fact, it's probably not even that easy to buy a regular cell phone anymore. Just about everything is a smartphone. And as this technology continues to advance, it's going to become more and more difficult for us to be able to preserve evidence of a crime.
Commissioner Charles Ramsey is Philadelphia Police Commissioner and President of the Major Cities Chiefs of Police Association. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So Police Commissioner Ramsey will certainly be paying close attention to the arguments at the Supreme Court today. What is a smartphone in the annals of privacy? Is it a locked door of your house? Is it your mind? Is it the glove compartment of your car? Maybe there is no metaphor. Well, the Supreme Court will have to come up with one, perhaps, if we're going to advance the law here. Joining us is Stephen Krabari at the University of Minnesota. This is a pretty tangled legal mess we're talking about here, yes?
Very tangled legal mess.
Is there a technological fix, or will the Supreme Court actually be motivated to do a legal fix here? Because I don't know if either one will completely solve the problem.
I don't think there's a technological fix because technology advances so fast that once you fix it, it's going to change. You're going to have to fix it again. The question that everybody wants the court to answer, I think, is, do you have an expectation of privacy in all of that data on your cell phone, and such an expectation that it would defeat the traditional approach to searching containers on a person when he or she is arrested? I think this is the question Justice Sotomayor put on the table in her opinion in Jones, her concurring opinion, when she said, do we have to ask whether you can have a reasonable expectation of privacy in information you knowingly expose to the public? That's a remarkable question, that how can you have privacy in something you're exposing to the public? But that's kind of the reality with digital information and digital evidence.
Just to focus on that, it's exposed to privacy by simply being a part of the network, right? It's exposed to the public.
It's exposed to the public because of the way it works. We've all been focused on how the technology works. When you use it, it's a data stream that goes out into space and comes back. And we have to talk about it in terms of analogies, because very few people have the savvy to talk about it technologically. It's not like a letter. You're not sealing something up and putting a stamp on it. It's like a postcard. All the data goes out. All the data goes around. It gets copied. It gets reassembled. It comes back. And yet you want privacy in it. Back in 1980s, Justice Stevens used a term, practical obscurity, in the Department of Justice versus Reporters Committee case. And that term was used by Justice Ginsburg at the D.C. Circuit when he decided the Jones GPS case, the idea being that you're so anonymous in digital communication that you have an expectation that you are practically obscure. Is that something the court ought to recognize? And it has never recognized something like that. I teach these subjects, and my students every year believe that because their data is personal and in many instances intimate, it's therefore private. And I don't think we can say the Supreme Court has ever protected the content of information. It protects where you say it, how you speak it. The seminal case was back in the 60s. A fellow named Katz goes into a phone booth, puts some money in the phone, dials it, makes a phone call. The government listens from the outside using a device attached to the outside of the phone booth. The court strikes it down, saying he closed the door, he paid for the call to eliminate everyone from the call except the person whose number he dialed. He had an expectation that his words were private from the intruding ear.
Unbelievable. If you could even find a phone booth on the streets today, that would be remarkable in and of itself. The impressions of privacy, the expectations of privacy, go before the Supreme Court in the case of smartphones. Two criminal cases being decided by the Supreme Court in arguments today. Stephen Krabari, professor of law at the University of Minnesota, thanks so much.
Thank you.
What do you think about the privacy of your cell phone? Is your impression that the government has no right to it? Give us a call at 877-8MyTake or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.